The reading today is from Ephesians, the third chapter, 14 through 21st verse from the MSG version of the Bible, which is the contemporary version. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in, with all followers of Jesus, the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes.
Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, and it's from the Message. After this, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. Some call it Tiberias. A huge crowd followed him, attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. When he got to the other side, he climbed a hill, sat down, surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the feast of Passover, kept annually by the Jews. When Jesus looked out and saw a large crowd had gathered, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered, 200 silver pieces wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a piece. One of the disciples, it was Andrew, brother to Simon Peter, said, "Well, there's a little boy over here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But that's a drop in the bucket for a crowd like this." And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was a nice carpet of green grass in this place. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the bread and, having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. And he did the same with the fish. All ate as much as they wanted. When the people had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftovers so nothing is wasted." They went to work and filled 12 large baskets with leftovers from the 5 barley loaves. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had done. And they said, "This is the prophet for sure, God's prophet, right here in Galilee." Jesus saw that in their enthusiasm they were about to grab him and make him king. So he slipped off and went back up the mountain to be by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple months ago on Facebook, this meme that you're seeing up on the screen showed up. Spoiler alert. Ministry is messy, the church isn't perfect, we're all a little crazy, God is really good, and you are ridiculously loved. That reminded me of December 27th, 2015, when I was honored to bring the message for the ordination service of the Reverend Heidi Tyler. Remember that? It was a glorious day. And in the sermon, I talked about how ministry is messy. And I started with this. Sir Ernest Henry Shackleton, a polar explorer who led 3 British expeditions to the Arctic, Antarctic, and one of the principal figures of the period known as the Heroic Age of the Antarctic Exploration, has been said to have once placed this ad in the newspaper. "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success." I told her that was a lot like ministry. Very, very messy. I probably mentioned that ministry is sometimes warm and fuzzy, sometimes powerfully meaningful, and sometimes downright painful. Watching someone die. Watching someone you love die. I mean, watching It's just painful watching people in poverty and watching people broken by relationships or loneliness. And realistically, watching isn't the right word. It isn't the best word to use when you're thinking about ministry. Because watching means I'm at a distance. I'm not there. I'm not entirely present. So let's find a better word. Walking with. How's that? I'm walking with you when you're dealing with death. I'm walking you when you're dealing with illness. We're walking together as you're dealing with poverty or brokenness or addiction. And regardless of whether we're watching or walking, ministry is messy. When I started this sermon several weeks ago, well, Naomi and I started it months ago, basically, I thought it was going to be a deeper story about the feeding of the 5,000. In particular, I love this version. You know, there's like 6, 7 versions of this story, sometimes with the 4,000, sometimes with the 5,000. And I love this one. Young boy saves the day. And then I started having this conversation with my friend Rob that changed my focus. Now, before I begin our story, I want to show you a picture of Rob. Okay, that's the first one Rob gave me. Let's go with the second one. There he is. This is Rob, and Rob is having a watch party in Lafayette, Indiana. So I've never been more nervous, I think, preaching before. So, I met Rob when he was in high school. He took vocal lessons from our choir director, Ben. And Ben invited him to sing, you know, when we would do cantatas or things like that, or Rob did some solos for us. He has a wonderful voice. And I can't really say that I know when the connection started, but we would talk, and I eventually learned that he was struggling even then with addiction. And with his permission, I'm going to share some of our story, because it isn't just Rob's story I'm going to talk about this morning, it's our story. Rob was raised in a Christian home. However, his father, the church deacon, abused alcohol, and Rob's mother. Rob says, my earliest memory in life is my father, in a fit of alcoholic rage, holding a loaded shotgun to my mother's head as she was reading me The Velveteen Rabbit, something no child should ever experience, let alone a 2-year-old. Rob's mother eventually found her way out of the abuse, took Rob and the infant to her parents. Later, Mom remarried. And they had been members of this loving Presbyterian church, but for some reason they left it to join the large General Association of Regular Baptists in Lafayette. And as Rob's use of drugs became evident, they turned to their pastor for guidance. The pastor's advice? Throw him to the gutter. And if he dies, maybe you'll be given an opportunity to grow spiritually. My thoughts exactly. Then the pastor blamed the mother and stepfather for Rob's addiction because of their ineptitude of spiritual leadership. Now, I want to point out, this is a large church in Lafayette, Indiana. And as my being pastor of First Baptist there for almost 10 years, this was not the first time I heard things like that from people who went to them. Needless to say, this did nothing to help Rob's connection to Christianity, and in fact, it drove him from it. Ministry is messy. One Friday, Rob and I met for lunch. Still remember the restaurant. He was not in a good place, and he talked about how out of control things were. And I did something I have only done once in my entire career, and that is I took somebody home. I took him home to my apartment so he could rest. He had a place of his own, but he was uncomfortable with being alone. He slept on the couch all afternoon. I made dinner. We had some more time together. I took him back to his apartment. I was back at his apartment like 7 o'clock the next morning to pick him up so he could spend the day with me. And that night I took him to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and someone took him to a shelter for the evening and then brought him to church the next morning. We had Ray Schooler was visiting us from International Ministries, and we all went out to lunch afterward, and then later I took Rob back home. Now, our friendship has continued in a kind of hit-and-miss sort of way. We haven't been in constant touch, but once in a while he reached out. Facebook made this very, very easy. And Often he was in a really good space, and then other times he wasn't. So over these past, I'm guessing, close to 20 years, we stayed in touch, and mostly these later years through Facebook. He lets me know life's good, but he also lets me know when things aren't. And over a month ago, he let me know he had OD'd and almost died. But he's with us, and he's 76 days clean. And he didn't think he'd make day two, so we are celebrating that with you, Rob. Today, praise God, his relationship with his parents is good. He has his son starting fifth grade, Connor playing football, Bob's coaching the defensive line for the team. His girlfriend Amanda took this great picture. 76 days, Rob. 76 days, nothing to sneeze at. And we're sending prayers and encouragement to you. Why did I spend time with Rob, you may be asking? Well, let me just say, I really like this guy. I really like him. Like I said, I don't remember that moment when we connected, but I do. He was reminding me the other day that he was singing a solo in church and his mother came, and the poor thing was just really uncomfortable with the woman in the pulpit, but she made it. But Rob, it is worth it. And he doesn't have to believe it, but I believe that he's a child of God and that he is loved by God and by me. So as we chatted about this sermon, he wrote about his addiction to heroin and meth, his involvement in illegal activities, and about ways that he found his way forward. I wish I could share all. It's brilliantly written, and I'm going to hold on to this forever because he speaks so much of his heart. But I am going to share with you just a little bit about what he shared. No amount of evangelism will reach me. I'm pretty firm in my belief. I'm happy that it works for you. I just can't stand organized religion. It's full of hypocritical, two-faced people. A pastor told my parents to throw me to the gutter while I was in active addiction. I acknowledge that there are some awesome clergy like my friend Peg, but for the most part, I've seen Christianity's true colors. And for one, it's nothing like Jesus. And two, they would rather see people suffer than get off their high horse to help anyone. And when they do help people, it's a bait and switch. So for me, I'll take the seven tenets over the Ten Commandments. I didn't know what the seven tenets were either. I looked them up. Bob is talking about the teachings of the Satanic Temple. No, it's not about Satan. But you can go look it up. But here's their mission statement. To encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. Their seven tenets follow this mission statement, even encouraging people to make amends for any harm they caused. Now, I'm sure you're sitting here going, but where's God? Well, no, that's not happening here. Rob doesn't believe in God. But he does believe in doing good things where you can and being responsible for your actions among the tenants. I told you, ministry's messy. But Rob doesn't need to believe as I believe for us to be in relationship. I mean, he's not the only atheist in my life, trust me. I'm related to some of them. We just are in relationship. We are connected. We are present for each other, and I am not at all offended when Bob says what he needs to say, even when he says what he feels about Christianity. I've seen it. You've seen it. I mean, for some pastors, this would be a deal breaker, but for me, it's just his story. And yeah, it's messy. There's no way around that. It's messy. Kind of like the messy ministry of the feeding of the 5,000. Like I said, we often read about this one. Got all these different versions. Someday I'm going to do a sermon about the one which says there were 5,000, not counting women and children. And I also want to know who did the counting. Because I don't think we've got the Park Service to do the little, you know, thing, how they do that. Anyway, that's another day. The point is, for me, the point of this story seems to be that people were hungry. There were no concession stands or food trucks. Or were there? I mean, okay, not real food trucks, but there was food. I mean, if a young boy in the crowd has 5 loaves and 2 fish, maybe others did too, right? Maybe a lot of people had more than they needed, and that once the boy shared his food, other people shared their food. Maybe that was the miracle, that people shared what they had with those who did not. I mean, maybe the miracle was that people didn't complain about sharing food with people who didn't bring any. Or maybe the miracle is exactly what it says it is. Maybe Jesus really did pick up 5 loaves and 2 fish and break it and it multiplied. I can believe that. I mean, I pray to Jesus for miracles all the time. Why wouldn't I believe that a miracle could happen? But I do believe that either way is miraculous. Neither one of these takes away the miracle from Jesus. And either is messy. Either way, Jesus is inviting people to share what they brought with those sitting around them. Either way, Jesus is teaching the disciples about actually doing ministry instead of just talking about it. Don't just tell me about it, Jesus says, you do it. Some years ago, when I was back in Lafayette, I took Gladys to her doctor's appointments in Indianapolis, over an hour away. Her daughter did not like to drive on the interstate, and Gladys asked me if I would take her. And I agreed immediately. Gladys had cancer in one eye, and it needed to be removed. She was in her 80s at the time, and one of the most gracious people. I mean, she never once, I don't know, she just handled it with such grace. Where's the messy part come in? A member of my pastoral relation committee came to me and said, I know that's really nice of you, but your time would be better spent if you didn't take Gladys to her doctor's appointment. I don't remember what my response was. It's probably just as well. But what I would say to her now is, why not? I mean, what better use of my time is there than being with someone who needs to go to the doctor? I don't care how far away it is. What better use of my time? I mean, I have many, many stories I could share, but that would just depress us all, so let's not go there. Let's go back to this one. Let's say this together. Spoiler alert. Ministry is messy. The church isn't perfect. We are all a little crazy. God is really good. You are ridiculously loved. Now, I want you to remember these, because ministry is messy. And yes, we're all a little crazy. And I think we can agree the church really isn't perfect, because what is? However, can't we lean into the truth that God is good and we're ridiculously loved? Even those who don't worship or think as we do. Even those who don't live as we do. Even those who can't seem to climb out of the hole they're in. I'm remembering a story from one of our all-time favorite television shows, The West Wing. Leo is the president's chief of staff. Josh is second to Leo and nearly died in an assassination attempt. He's been dealing with PTSD, and if you want to go look up this episode, it's called Noel. And he worries about keeping his job. And Leo tells him this story. This guy's walking down the street when he falls in a hole, and the walls are so steep he can't get out. And the doctor passes by, and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me out?" And the doctor writes the prescription, throws it in the hole, and moves on. I know. Good Samaritan, you're thinking Good Samaritan as we do this. Then a priest comes along, and the guy shouts, "Father, I'm in this hole. Can you help me out?" And the priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hole, and moves on. And then a friend walks by and says, "Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumped in the hole. And our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." And the friend says, "Yeah, I know, but I've been here before, and I know the way out." And Leo looks at Josh and says, "As long as I've got a job, you've got a job." Ministry is messy. It just is. Sometimes it's helping someone to find a job or keep a job or find a place to live. Sometimes it's sitting with someone when they're ill. Sometimes it's being present when someone's fighting addiction or another battle. Ministry is messy, friends. It just is. And we need to walk each other home, don't we? We need to walk with each other. And Rob, thanks for letting me walk with you. Let me end with a word from one of my favorite writers, gone to glory, Rachel Held Evans. The kingdom remains a mystery just beyond our grasp. All we have are almosts and not quite, and wayside shrines. All we have are imperfect people in an imperfect world doing their best to produce outward signs of inward grace and stumbling all the way. Amen.